The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from Joel chapter 2, beginning with the 12th verse. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep, and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle text for the same Lord's Day is from 2 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6, beginning with the second half of the 20th verse. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you fast, Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrites. When, not if, you fast. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. By the way, everyone's favorite good teachings from Jesus that they've never read or they've never really read. Because once you read it, you realize that Jesus isn't a good teacher. He's an unyielding taskmaster. Sure, the Beatitudes are nice. Maybe. Until he starts talking about the law and warns his disciples not to relax the law by even one tiny dot. So to avoid relaxing the law, Jesus launches into a sixfold intensification of the law. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you, that leaves you and everyone else slack-jawed and stupefied that anyone could be such a legalist, such a hard-nosed dictator with the commandments. And that culminates in the statute of just how well you need to obey the commandments. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's what precedes when you give to the needy, when you pray, when you fast. Do not be like the hypocrites. Prayer you can get behind, maybe giving to the poor too, but fasting is just weird. It seems to be too physical, not spiritual. It's too concerned what you eat, with what you eat, or in this case, what you don't eat, to be a Christian activity. Weight Watchers, yes. Christians, no. Not Lutheran Christians anyway. Not people liberated from the law, basking in the glorious freedom of the gospel, having severed their ties from the works righteousness, earn your ticket to paradise, Roman Catholics with their fish fries and their days of fasting. And yet, when you fast, Jesus said. Later in Matthew's account of the gospel, when the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus to ask why they fasted and the Pharisees' disciples fasted, but not Jesus' disciples, Jesus answered, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Then they will fast. After Jesus, the bridegroom, is taken away. Like now. When you fast, Jesus said. Fasting, peculiarly enough, involves hunger. Stumbling out of the St. Peter bar after 2.5 hours of cramming fried cod and french fries into your mouth, buzzed on Coors Light, is the opposite of fasting. Fasting means abstaining, not just from diet sodas and pet vices, but from food. Properly done, fasting leaves your belly aching for another helping. That is why fasting seems too physical. What does a rumbling belly have to do with your piety, with your Christian devotion? Behold the man, Jesus, the God-man. As Pontius Pilate trotted out before the jeering crowds, a freshly flogged Jesus, wearing a diadem designed to inflict suffering, in a faux royal robe to invite ridicule, he preached an unintentional yet profound sermon. behold the man. Taking his advice, that is what we will do throughout the season of Lent that commences tonight. We will behold the man. In Jesus, God is man. The Word has become flesh, like you. God is your brother. The one begotten of the Father from all eternity is now the one born of the Virgin Mary. And your Lord. Behold the man. Just like you, he has skin and bones, blood vessels and lymph nodes, teeth and hair, heart and lungs, blood and saliva, hands, feet, eyes, lips, tongue, stomach, spleen, and epiglottis. Behold the man. He eats, he breathes, he walks, he sleeps, he prays, he weeps, he laughs, he bleeds, he dies, he rises, he ascends, he sits, and he will come. He is completely human and completely divine. Two perfect natures in one indivisible person. He has fingerprints and DNA. Behold the man, Jesus, your brother. Unlike you, though, he has no sin. His human nature is perfect, unspoiled by Adam's rebellion. Because of sin, your human nature is corrupted, but not Jesus. Oh, he was tempted in every way, just as you are, yet without sin. His desires were never distorted into lust, greed, coveting, or idolatry. Behold the man. Like unblemished Adam at the close of the sixth day of creation, when God declared his handiwork very good, Jesus is as human can be, as human as he intends to make you in the resurrection. So why fasting? Behold the man. Jesus fasted. The gospel for this coming Sunday places Jesus in the wilderness, following his baptism, fasting for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. This is not the faux fasting of feasting on fried fish or giving up some pet vice for the season. For 40 days, Jesus ate nothing. Matthew and Luke understatedly report that he was hungry. You don't say. That shouldn't be noteworthy to say that God hasn't eaten for 40 days. Eating is not something natural to God. But behold the man. Behold the God who took on human flesh in the virgin womb of a Jewish girl. Behold the unborn baby being nourished for 9 months in his temporary earthly throne room. Behold the crying infant rooting for the breast to fill his newborn stomach. Behold the toddler to whom his parents introduced new foods, all of which he had created. Behold the boy eating the Passover lamb with his extended family. Behold the man, God in human flesh, who needs to eat in order to live. And now behold the man who has not eaten for 40 days, 960 hours, 57,600 minutes. And you were thinking the time since your last snack was getting a little long. Behold the man, the incarnate God with lips, teeth, tongue, and taste buds that have not savored a morsel for 40 days. With an esophagus, stomach, and intestines that have been empty and aching for those 40 days. Behold the man who fasts for you. The first Adam sinned by eating. The second Adam will fast before enduring an onslaught of temptation, withstanding every one. Behold the man who fasts and who assumes his disciples will do the same. Like fasting, Lent is weird. Who has time or patience for a season of repentance, for subdued joy, for bottling up our alleluias until we can uncork them and get punch drunk with Easter jubilation? Who wants to explain to the Wednesday evening bridge club that they won't be around for the next 6 weeks? Who wants to give away more money to the poor from their already penny-pinched budget? Who wants to devote more time for prayer in their way-too-busy schedule? Yes, Lent is weird. Lent, like fasting, is unusually physical. In fact, the Germans call this penitential season before Easter Fastenzeit, literally fasting time. The disciplines of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are designed to guard you against that age-old temptation of being too spiritual. The temptation is as old as creation. When the serpent seduced Adam and his wife to give in to the spiritual desire to be like God, knowing good and evil, over the physical prohibition against eating from that one tree, they set the pattern for the rest of us who would want to prefer the spiritual over the material. So once God settled the Israelites in the Promised Land, they quickly abandoned the very physical worship of Yahweh by means of the sacrifice offered only in the temple in Jerusalem for the more spiritual, less precise worship of Baal and Ashtoreth. And Nicodemus cracked a joke that true religion could never be so physical as to induce rebirth. And the Sadducees concocted the ridiculous story about the woman who married one of seven brothers to prove that physical resurrection is impossible. And your children insist that they're spiritual, but not religious. And you give your amen when your friends tell you, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. All of that is an attempt to be safer and to have spiritual platitudes instead of real, physical, fleshly realities. And it's all sin. Give up your pious, hyper-spiritual pretensions. God isn't like that. The incarnation has been in his mind from before the first words of creation. Behold the man, Jesus, in whom the fullness of the God dwells bodily. You who have both a body and the complete inability to use it properly, as your Creator intended, have hope. You have hope. God is like this, a man, your brother. Behold the man. Jesus fasted for you. He is a God who can eat, who needs to eat, so that he can abstain from eating, enduring the pains of hunger to deny his flesh what it wants. For you. For your tendency to prefer the spiritual over the physical in a fake spirituality that leads you to indulge the flesh with its desires, both good and evil. Jesus endured temptation and never sinned so that he could be the man to redeem all other men, the Creator who would ransom his creatures, God who could give his life for sinners, for you. So fast freely. Fast to discipline and chasten your flesh. Fast so that as you learn to control your belly, it will give you discipline to control the other parts of your flesh as well. Fast and let the rumbling of your hunger teach you that your belly is not your God. Pray daily, bread does not come from the work of your... Pray until you realize that your schedule is not your God. Your time is not your own. And your daily bread does not come from the work of your own hands. Give alms, tithe, give offerings, and give money until you know down in your gut that money is not the source of your security or your happiness. Behold the man who fasted, prayed, and gave alms perfectly for you. His rumbling stomach, his hunger pangs are your comfort and temptation. His flesh is your hope. He succeeded where you have failed. Behold the man. And then break the fast. Eat, drink at his altar. Veiled in bread and wine for his disciples to eat and drink for the forgiveness of their sins. With his flesh as true food and his blood as true drink. Behold the man. Let the growling of your belly in Lent and any time lead you here to the place where the Lord bids you to fast and hunger no more. Here is food that endures to eternal life, drink that satisfies your deepest thirst. Here at this altar, the man who gives himself to you to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of your faith for the enabling of your fervent love for one another, and for the salvation of your flesh. In bread and wine, behold the man. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.